Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Welcome to Cosmic Channels. Open minds on cosmic lines. To call in to future episodes, the number is 1-833-703-0424. The show is recorded live the second and fourth Sunday of every month. Please subscribe to Alien Theorists Theorizing on YouTube to watch it live, or patreon.com/alientheoristspodcast to watch on demand. The cosmic channels are open. We're live. I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
Braden got stuck. If you've ever watched the show Highway Through Hell, that highway, Braden, he didn't make it.
He's currently going through hell.
He's currently going through the highway of hell.
Yeah.
So hopefully he makes it. If you don't know, the Coquitlam Highway in British Columbia, it comes out of nowhere and just dumps just mountains of snow. Out of nowhere.
And fog, ice, carnage, just trash. Awfulness.
And there's the only other way around was like a big long detour.
Dude, I drove that thing every 4 days.
That's crazy. I can't believe that.
It was fucking miserable, man. I do not miss that whatsoever. Getting off a 12-hour night shift and being like, well, time to drive for 4.5 hours in the Coke. Let's do it.
That was impressive. I don't know how you did that.
Not really. No sleep and just zero regard for my life. Just making it happen because I want to be at home.
It's fair.
Yeah, not great.
All right, if you're watching live, we're taking all calls, paranormal, ghost stories, UFOs, thoughts and theories. Well, Braden's not here, so he's fair game. You want to come in and give a nice roast to Braden?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's fine. Number 1-833-703-0424. Because we do it second and fourth Sunday of the month. Some months, like the second Sunday, is actually like a 3-week break. And this is one of those months. So hopefully people got the memo.
We got the, let's see who calls in. We had some people saying they were going to call in, but you usually get that and then they forget. Or, people get busy. Happens. That's life.
Andrew, are you just celebrating your victory today?
Buddy, we didn't lose.
Didn't lose.
That's all that matters. We didn't fucking lose. Listen to this. We didn't lose, so we're not going 0-17. All right? And we still get the first overall draft pick this year so far. I'm ecstatic here.
Win-win. It's
the best of both worlds. Couldn't be happier.
We're going to bring in our first caller.
Ooh.
Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hey.
Hey.
Am I the first caller?
First caller of the night.
Oh, okay, cool. I told you it'll be boring. This is boring.
Hey, yeah. We'll be the judge.
I have no story.
We'll be the judge. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Anyway, how you guys doing? My name's JV, and I'm calling from Estacada, Oregon.
Right on. Thanks for the call.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for answering, though.
Hell yeah.
Surprised I got right through.
All right. So
anyways.
What do you got for us?
Yeah. I don't have anything. I told you I'd call. I told you I'd be boring.
Perfect.
Me calling and being boring.
Tell us a story.
Yeah, I like a guy who keeps his promises.
Questions. Yeah. You got a story. What you
kept
got?
His word. His guy is true to his word. What are you going to do?
I mean, song or a joke.
Tell
Let's
us
go.
Yeah. Anything. Oh, yeah. Whatever you got. Let me fill up my whiskey here.
Oh, man. I don't know. I have whiskey.
What'd you do this weekend?
What did I do? I'm packing up to go to Phoenix and. 2 days.
Oh, that's all right.
And get one.
Jealous.
That's a good thing. But actually, it's kind of warm here in Oregon right now because we've got that pineapple express going through.
Right. Yeah, we get that same system. Is this dumping rain there, same as here?
Actually, right now, really clear skies. Nice full moon. Stars are out. It's pretty amazing.
Well, that's better than here, so.
Yeah, it's pretty shitty here.
Pretty
right
shitty
now.
At the moment.
Yeah, man, it's beautiful.
You're going to Arizona.
Yeah, sure am, where it's warm.
All right, make sure you keep those eyes on the skies and let us know if you see any UFOs.
I surely will. Anyways,
we gotta hang up on you.
Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for letting me talk. Okay.
No worries, problem. Man.
Thanks for calling.
Have a good night. Bye.
Yeah, take it easy, buddy.
Later on, guys.
New rule. Got a new rule. If you're gonna call in and you don't have a story, it's gotta tell a joke or sing a song. Song or a joke.
It's fair. Fair rule.
Song to the first chorus, not the whole song.
Yeah, well, it depends how good it is. We'll be the judge. We'll fucking gong you. We'll cut, if yeah, you're we'll terrible, cut you we'll off gong you.
Had enough.
Yeah.
All right, we got another caller just like that.
Beautiful.
Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hey, this is Zell.
This is Zell. Dan and Andrew.
Hey, how's it going, man?
No, just Zell.
And Andrew's here?
And Dan.
Absolutely.
And Dan, my guys. Where's Braden at?
He's dead.
In hell. Currently. Frozen hell.
That's a true story. He's actually stuck on the highway through hell, so we wish him the best.
Holy hell, I can't believe I'm on the line with you guys. Hi, my name's Troy.
Troy, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Southern California.
Troy?
Yeah, from
SoCal. You nailed it. Right on, brother. What do you got for us tonight?
Yeah, Southern California. I'm not sure what you guys were talking about tonight, but I have like kind of an interesting kind of, I don't know if it's like a Men in Black, but it's kind of like an alien story.
That's perfect.
A UFO kind of story.
Yep.
We like aliens.
All right. Just so you guys know, I've been sitting on this. I've had an alarm set on my phone for like months waiting to call in to you guys to tell you the story. And tonight awesome. Felt like the perfect night. So
there we go.
I'm excited.
Dedication.
So this is about a couple years ago. Yeah, thanks, man. I love you guys. I've been listening to you guys for years. So.
Cheers.
But anyway, I'll try to keep it short and simple. I know you guys got the whole show to run. But a couple of years, I lived in San Diego for years, from 2017 to like 2020, or 2017, like 2016, 15, not important. But we got a big military base there. And I was just there going to college, you know. But when you live that close to a base, you meet like a lot of guys from the military.
Right.
And one night, I was walking home from some like party, and I hear these like three guys yelling in a parking lot of a Sevy or a Circle K, and they're trying to buy weed. And I sold weed at the time, so I was like, "Hey guys, like, want to come over to my place? Like, it's just a hop and a skip. Like, come on over."
Guys, want to buy some drugs?
It's so long.
Did you give them the Snickle Fritz or the good stuff?
No, they definitely got the good stuff. But the next couple times they came around, they got the Snickle Fritz.
Nice.
But one guy, his name was Josh. He's the one I remember the most. He was the one yelling like an obnoxious little child, like in the middle of the Circle K trying to find some weed. And so I invite him over, and and we start chatting, you know, and they're really cool guys. But they're all Marines. And they're there at Camp Pendleton, and they're being drug tested constantly. So they're like, I'm not going to call you very often, but when I do, it's like, you know, give us the good shit kind of thing.
Right.
And so over like a year or so, we kind of became friends, and like he'd come over and they'd smoke at my place because they lived on base and whatnot, and like get to talking. And so like one day, like, they come over and they're like, "We're about to be deployed. We're going to be gone for like 6 to 8 months. I'm like, "All right, cool. Like, get me out when you get back." And so 6 to 8 months goes by. I move into a new place. I'm like going on with my life, completely forgot about the guys. And this guy, Josh, calls me. He's like, "Hey Troy, like, I got to talk to you." And you know, I'm a pot dealer who believes in aliens. So like, these guys totally know, like, they've heard, you know, all my random rants about like this, that, and the other, UFOs, whatnot.
Right.
And Josh comes over and he's like, "I got to talk to you, man. Like, is anyone at your house?" I'm like, "No." And he comes over and sits down, and this guy is got like a white ghost face. Like, he is freaked the fuck out. And I'm like, dude, I haven't seen you in forever. Like, how are you doing? You know, you want to smoke some weed? And he's like, dude, no, I don't want to smoke some weed. Like, I'm freaking the fuck out. I just went, this is what he told me. He went overseas. They're doing some kind of marine training. They were going to like the Arctic or some shit, like where it was really cold. Like, he was telling me that they're building like fucking igloos under the snow, you know, like that was the kind of training they were doing, like where they were sleeping in a snow igloo thing every night. Like, ooh, it was like intense stuff.
Rough.
And he was like, he's like, I'm going to quit the Marines. And he, out of all three of the guys I met, like, this is the guy who was like, I'm going to be fucking Saving Private Ryan. Like, he was really into the Marines. And so this was like a total shock. I was like, what? You're going to quit the Marines? He's like, dude, they asked me to do some stuff that I could not do. Like, I could not do. I'm like, well, what kind of stuff? And he's like, he got real shifty about it and didn't want to talk with me in my apartment. I'm like, let's go for a walk. So we go for a walk down the street, and like, we're just chatting. And I was, this is right when like the CIA made that whole website where you could access all of the Freedom of Information kind of acts. Like, and I was getting real into like reading about all of the remote viewing stuff. And so I was kind of just chatting, because that's what I was doing. I was just kind of chatting about like, you know, what's going on with me, because he seemed like really off. And I'm like, yeah, man, I've been like reading a lot about this, like blah, blah, blah. And yeah, just so you get for context, like, I did not live in a very nice part of San Diego. Like, if you go a couple miles, it was nice, but like, I kind of lived in like the trap. Like, it was just half the businesses on the street are just closed, you know, they got bars and, you know, wood on the windows. Like, there's nothing there. And there was nobody on the street. This was like 2 a.m. and we're walking down, and he's like, man, I got to tell you something. Like, we went out on a Navy vessel, and we were cruising out, like, on our way to wherever the hell they were going. And he's like, about 7 or 8 days in off the coast of San Diego, we encountered this insane orb, like this giant orb, he said. And he said that it was out in the middle of the ocean. Like, they got called, like, all hands on deck. Like, you know, he was doing fucking whatever. And they cruise out, and like, he goes out to the deck, and he said that he looked out, and there is this ginormous glowing blue orb just like hovering over the surface. And they cruise up next to it, and he's like, I'm like, was anybody else there? And he's like, dude, everybody was there. It's the craziest thing in the world. How could everybody not be there, you know? And I'm like, did you get any videos of it? Like, any photos? And he's like, yeah, man. Like, it's the first thing I did. I pulled my phone out. I started recording it. He's, according to him, he said that they got within 100 feet of it. The words he used were a football field. Like, we got within a football field distance. And he said it was like, he said it was massive. Like, it's been a while, but I remember him saying, like, it was from his eye, like maybe 100 or, you know, a couple hundred feet, like, wide, like, and tall. Like, it looked like a craft. Like, it actually looked like a giant craft, he said. And it was glowing kind of, like, blue. But he said it wasn't, like, emitting, like, because it was in the middle of the day. He didn't say it was, like, emitting kind of a blue color. He said, like, the thing kind of had, like, a blue sheen to it. Almost like oil, like when it's on water, you know, like when it rains out kind of thing. And so, you know, like, he was real shook about it. And this was before they even did any of the marine shit he was doing. And so I was like, dude, did you get videos of it and whatnot? And he's like, yeah, I did. And I'm like freaking out about it. It's like, you know, he took tons of videos and pictures. And I'm like, why are you freaking out? And he's like, because the day that we were going to come home, that we were docking back in San Diego, he said his entire room was raided, and all of his electronic devices, his hard drive, which he said it was on. He said it was on my hard drive. I made sure when I got back in my room, I put this shit on my hard drive so that it would not be, like, so that I would have, he would have it, you know?
Yeah.
And he said his entire room got raided, his laptop got taken, and his hard drive got taken. And he said he was not the only one either. He said, like, probably most of them, yeah? If, like, anybody got, like, photo evidence of it, but he said he was told by his direct supervisor or superior or whatever, like, you're not allowed to talk about
it. Toss it in.
And it really fucking shook him. Like, a week later, I texted him, and he was like, hey, man, like, I can't talk to you anymore. Like, things are getting crazy. And then I never heard from him again. But the weirdest part was while we were walking down the street.
Hold up, hold on. What do you mean you never heard from him again? Like that was.
I never heard from him again.
He got fucking neuralized, man. They forgot all about you.
Torched him.
Maybe, man. Like, I don't know. Like, because he was like, I'm going to leave, you know? Like, he's like, I'm dropping out of the Marines. Like, what, you know, whatever it takes. Like, I got to get out. Like, that was kind of his mindset, you know? And I was like, well, shit, maybe he just, like, left the Marines and went back to whatever state he was from. And, like, I never heard from him again. But I'd known this guy for, like, a year. I'd never seen him, like, weird like this. Like, he was, and I felt like there was shit he wasn't telling me. Like, you know, like he seemed like he was telling me kind of the bare surface of kind of what he had seen or maybe what had gone on. Like, I don't know if it was because of the Marines or because of what he saw. Like, it was honestly one of the most bizarre and unexpected conversations I'd ever had with a person.
Yeah, no doubt.
And what I got to get this out, like what was weirder was because we were walking down the street while we were talking about this. And again, this is in a neighborhood where no stores are open. It's like 1 a.m. Like it's totally late at night. And out of nowhere, like after he tells me this story about like 200 yards in front of me, I see this old guy. He's like probably in his 60s. He's wearing like a weird button up shirt. It's like tucked into his pants, like totally out of the character for the neighborhood that we're in. Like I even remember looking at him as we were talking and walking and being like, I wonder what the fuck this guy's doing. Like, cause there's nothing open, like it's late at night and it's not a neighborhood that you would wear like a button up tucked in.
Was the button
like,
up black?
Pants, you know? It wasn't black. No, it think more like you're meeting like this girl you've been dating for 2 weeks for the first time, parents, like the shit that her dad's wearing, like just kind of like weird, like khakis and,
So he's wearing some like white Air Monarchs, Kirkland jeans.
Totally.
Okay, we're sending you in to observe this Marine in a less than affluent part of San Diego. You better dress like you belong there. So
fit in.
Button up so they don't know how to dress like normal
people. Exactly, right. It seemed weird. Like, it was weird enough for me to be like, what the fuck is this guy doing? But, like, I was so engulfed in this conversation I was having with this guy that, like, I just put it out of my mind, you know? And as we walk past him, I shit you not, like he puts his hand on my shoulder, and I forget the terminology, like the phrase he actually said, but it was something to the effect of like, he's like, what did he say? He's like, yeah, man, they're always watching. Like, be careful what you talk about. Be careful what you talk about was the definite thing that he said for sure. But I forget what he said before that. It was something along the lines of like, you can never be too careful, you know, be careful what you talk about. Or it was like, watch what you say, like, be careful what you talk about. It was something like that.
So he gave you he gave you a veiled threat, is what it sounded like.
Yeah, it was fucking weird, man. And it totally put me off.
Did you tell him, like, fuck you, why are you telling me this? I don't want to hear this shit. I don't want to get suicided.
Keep that shit to yourself. The exact phrase I said to him back was, who the fuck are you to tell me what I'm going to talk about? Like, do you have something that you want to contribute to the conversation? Because there's no way he could have heard anything we were talking about. Like, we're smoking a joint. Like, we're just walking down the street. Like, most of
Sorry. Button up is the guy that told you that shit?
Yes. He put his hand on my shoulder as we passed him.
Oh, my God.
He's got you bugged.
I'm surprised you didn't do a little stranger danger, uppercut, and get the fuck out of there. Like, get away from me, dude.
I got a small frame, man. I'm not fit for uppercut.
I got a small frame, Marine, too, dude. Right? Carry a whistle. Blow the whistle. Carry a whistle, dude. And run.
Hey, awesome. Hey, thanks for the call. Before we let you go, though, what do you think? What's your final thoughts on this whole situation? What do you think that was there?
I really believe my friend. Like, he had heard me for, you know, over a year talk about, like, aliens, my thoughts on them. Like, you know, this is right when I was really getting into it. Like, I really think that this guy saw something that shook him. I really believe that he saw this. And I think even, like, more than that, like, I think what really probably made him come to me first and then say he was leaving the Marines, which I think he did. Like, I think he actually left the Marines. Was the fact
he
that
died.
He left in a body bag.
Took care of him.
Maybe, yeah, fucking maybe. But like, I think it was.
He's working at the fucking post office now. He's got neuralized.
Yeah, maybe. But I really do think that he saw this shit, like, off, you know, like with the Gimlet videos, like all this shit off the coast of San Diego. Like, I think he probably saw something, and I think it like shook him that all of his shit was taken before they got back to San Diego. And I think he found that like just way too weird to fathom, and he was like, fuck this, I'm out. Like, I don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah, I could see that.
And who knows, man, like probably a Men in Black, you know, according to him, I was, because he called me at like 12:30 p.m. you know, I was probably the first person he saw or went to right after he got off the boat. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if there was somebody like following him, because they've just seen some shit, you know, the big ass Navy boat. Like, I would not
don't
be surprised
trust
at all.
Anybody hanging around there. San Diego at night in business casual doing nothing in his 60s. Like, don't ever.
No, that's, sir.
Doesn't fit in.
No, sir. That's a big red flag. You know, the guy could have been an alien.
He could have been.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, we're going to keep the lines moving, but we appreciate the call. And if you ever hear from that guy again,
good,
make
man.
Sure to let us know.
Thank you, guys. Keep it up.
Take care.
Congrats on the skies.
Yeah, you too, brother. Cheers. Yeah, 100-foot orb.
Scary.
Guy sees it.
Seems really interesting that they would let them up on the deck, because usually when that kind of stuff happens, you don't let anybody out on the deck.
Maybe they didn't let him. Maybe they just all ran up there because, like, this
fuck is this?
No, I mean, you like this? You like batting the hatches down.
Mm. Keep everyone inside?
Pretty much. If it were something like that, they would probably keep everybody inside. The only time they usually get to see people like stuff like outside the ship is kind of like, I don't know, like when everything's like normal and like everybody's taking a smoke break. I mean, I didn't smoke. So like there was one point on the ship I didn't see daylight for 2 weeks.
Jesus.
That's crazy.
I didn't see natural light for 2 weeks.
So you don't have some random dude up on the top being like, there's a whale, everybody quick.
Yeah. Well, there's people on the top side. You have people on the top side up in the con tower, like looking around, like there's people up there that see, but I worked down in the below deck. So it was like, never went up that high.
Yeah, right. You were like fucking Mankind working in the boiler room, twisting wrenches and shit. I mean,
yeah, pretty much. Yeah, right. That's pretty much to a T.
All right, let's bring another caller on. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hello.
Hello, you're live.
Hello. Oh, hi. My name is Sean. I'm from Santa Barbara.
Hey, thanks for the call.
And, so I have a short story.
Perfect.
So me and my boyfriend, he has a van that he converted to like sleep in and like camp in. And so we were camping over like.
Hashtag van life.
Yeah, exactly. So we were out, one day anyway, so we slept on this street and next to his house, and then I think it was fine, whatever. So then we were sleeping, and then I wake up in the middle of the night and I pop up, and like I was having one of those dreams that was the dream of what we were actually doing. So I was dreaming of us sleeping there, and I saw us sleeping, and then I'm awake in the dream, and then I wake up, and you know, it's the exact surroundings, and then I look out the side window, and then there's like this really like a dark figure with a huge, perfectly round head, but extra huge.
Perfectly round?
You know.
Like a watermelon?
Yeah. Like
a pumpkin?
No. Like a globe.
Like a
circle head.
Straight
no
sphere.
Features
like
or
a
anything.
Cantaloupe.
We're talking like a basketball, or are we talking about Hey Arnold here? Like, what are we, give me a reference here.
Again, like three basketball four, like.
Gotcha.
Okay. Oversized head for his body.
Wait, so I just want to stop the story for a second. So you were sleeping or were you awake?
No, it's one of those dreams where I'm sleeping, reality, I'm sleeping, but in the dream, I'm dreaming of us in the van, and I'm awake in the dream, and he's sleeping next to me. Like, okay. You know. Is that called
sirens in the distance.
I'm dreaming of him.
There is sirens in the distance. I don't know. How often do you listen to this show?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Wait, what? How often do I listen to the show?
Yeah.
Oh, often. You download it all the time.
Okay. We're getting the climax here. Let's go.
Okay, let's keep going.
Yeah. I want to hear this. I'm curious. I'm scared of fucking basketball.
Let's see basketball.
Okay, so I'm dreaming of us in the car. I'm dreaming of that. That's what I'm dreaming. And on the dream, I'm awake and I'm looking out the window, and then that black figure with the huge round head is looking through the window at me. And then I wake up in real life, and then I'm like, because it felt so real, and like, oh my gosh. And then I look through the window, and obviously there's nothing there. But then he wakes up next to me, my boyfriend, and he's like, I woke him up, and in his dream, he had a black figure on top of his chest, you know, holding him down and whatever like that. And it was just really interesting that.
Big head?
Big head?
Huh?
Does his shadow person have a big head as well?
What did that person look like? I don't think so. He's here next to me. I don't think he would.
It was just a shadow figure that somehow I became in like a tussle. I came in a tussle with, and this has happened throughout my life. So, like, usually I tend to try to wake myself up by thinking of positive things or something spiritual or religious, you know, that brings you to that happy spot. And it usually, like, will calm me down enough to where I could wake up. But in the midst of it, I've looked it up. It's called, like, sleep paralysis. Mm-hmm. Or some people call it sleep paralysis, but I've felt it. Like a negative entity, every time I've come in contact with this. But yeah, it was like a dark shadowed figure that in my dream, I walk into a room, and as I go to open the door, this figure, lunges at me, and I'm like grabbing it to stop it from grabbing me, and almost like it wanted to get inside of me. So I was in the middle of that tussle.
Trying to get up in you.
Trying to infiltrate.
Yeah, but yeah, basically, when my girlfriend like woke me up and basically saved me from the battle, because I was kind of like even trying to scream for help. But when you're in that state, you can't move, you can't scream, you can't get up, you can't breathe. It feels like there's like a giant weight on your chest.
Right. Hey, the cops are coming. So quick resolution to the story. What happened?
Now basically
they're
both,
on their way.
I saw.
I can hear the sirens.
Wait, what are you talking about? I'm so confused. What are you talking
about?
I saw the figure. He felt the figure. That's basically what happened.
So it could have been.
And I wanted to go back to that spot again, but I'm too freaked out that it might get worse.
Fuck that.
Yeah, don't go back there. Bad
idea.
Never
go back there. You can get basketball hit all up in you.
Don't sleep in a van in that same spot again.
So you're getting attacked by interdimensional shadow people, demons.
I know. You might say, oh, we're back some more.
You woke your boyfriend up just in time, though, because they're about to get him.
Exactly.
You saved him.
Yeah.
All right, the cops are banging at my door. We're going to have to let you go, but we appreciate the call.
Okay, bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks.
Boop, boop. It's funny when people don't know the Dream Police, man. They come.
The chat knows what's up.
They're knocking on my door right now.
Somebody's about to get pistol-whipped.
Textbook case for the Dream Police.
I was in a dream, but I woke up in my dream.
In my dream.
The siren.
I got a little too Inception for me at the beginning
part. The sirens, I could hear them over the horizon here.
Oh, yeah, man.
They're bouncing.
They're loud.
If the listener doesn't get the joke, you haven't listened to every episode of Cosmic Channels yet. Go back to the
first. I thought they're going to wake up and see the figure there when they woke up. I'm like, oh,
that, yeah. I really awoke.
Like, if you know that you're 100% awake and jump out the car, and then you tell me it's out there, I'd be like, yes, that's crazy.
All right, let's bring another caller in. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Jericho or Shadow RC from Discord, Kentucky.
Oh, Shadow RC, welcome back, brother.
What's up?
Hey, what's up? How you guys doing tonight?
Not pretty good.
I have a paranormal story for you guys.
All right.
Let's get activated.
Let's activate. Let me pour another glass of whiskey here.
So I used to be in the Army, and I was deployed once. And I was on a small FOB in Syria, a forward operating base. And there was five towers around the base. And on little fobs like that, you have to do what's called a tower guard. There always has to be a person in the tower to watch, you know, make sure nothing's coming at all times. And we rotated every 2 hours, right? Well, the tower guard would be going on through the night as well. So there'd be times where you have to be standing at the tower by yourself for up to like 2 to 4 hours at a time, in darkness, and you have to watch outside, you know, your like wall, right? And it gets boring up there. You're not allowed like music, obviously. You have to pay attention to things. But one night I was sitting up there, and about halfway through my guard duty, out of nowhere on the wooden steps behind me, I just hear the thud, thud, thud. Like someone walking up it. And I didn't think any of it at the time, because there, the way it worked is there was a roaming sergeant that would go around to every tower to make sure that the person that guard was awake and vigilant, right?
Right.
He'd go around once every hour. So I thought it was him. So I turned around. I was like, oh, hey, sergeant. And no one was there. But I definitely heard a thud of boots going up my steps.
Oh, ghost boots.
I mean, I would have thought it was just a random occurrence, but there was stories prior to that I have heard from other people who had been on the tower.
That same tower?
On the same tower and three of the other ones. I had a buddy who one time when he was up in a different tower, he actually had to climb like a ladder to get up to it. It's weird to describe, but it's like this tube you had to climb up on, and it's like maybe like 15 feet. It's not high, but it opens to like a trap door, and you go up there and it's like closed off. Like the only way up and down is like through the spider. But I had a dude, a buddy, who said that he heard a knock on the trap door, and again, you know, he thought it was the sergeant, you know, coming by to make sure he was okay. And when he lifted it up, no one was there. But someone would have had to climb up the ladder and knocked on it.
Did anyone die, like while on duty on those towers or anything?
No. My whole deployment, we hadn't lose anyone. But again, the area is somewhere that the unit before me would have had to have like confiscated and then built up the little fob I was on.
Right.
And then we took it occupied.
Fuck. But just footsteps, nothing like brushed your shoulder or tried like pulled on your...
No, no. It wasn't like, oh, I think I heard something. I definitely heard the thud of heavy boots
thump,
the wooden behind me.
That's fucked.
And
what's your theory? What do you think?
I think it's haunted. I mean, with all the stuff going around, and you know, in those areas, all the, you know, the terror and fear, you know,
phantom soldier men.
I wouldn't doubt that something, you know, stayed over from all of that.
Yeah.
But
well, multiple people have heard the same kind of footsteps up the tower while they're on duty.
There is at least the other story I told, and one other person that I know of that has also told me their experience at a different tower from the two I mentioned.
You know what? You're on duty. You're already on edge. Like anything can happen at any time, oh, yeah. And then ghosts on top of that. No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on. Give the guy a break.
Rip the energy. Make up for spirits.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Awesome, brother. Hey, well, thanks for calling back in, telling that story.
Of course. Thank you for answering.
All right, man. We'll talk to you on Discord.
Have a good night, guys.
You too.
Take care, man. Bye.
Yeah, that's the last thing you want. Like, you're on duty, you're in a foreign country, you're already on edge, and then you got to go.
Your hypervigilance is, like, at all-time high here. No, thank you.
Yeah, that's the last thing you want. Just like that, another caller. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Chris from Denver.
Chris from Denver, welcome back
to
the show.
Denver.
Calling for the first time in ages.
Yeah, man, it's been a while.
I just got released from the lizard people when I quit my job, so y'all are the first people I called.
That's true. Sure. We appreciate that.
Appreciate it.
Spill the beans. What's happened?
Nothing crazy. They're just doing a whole bunch of new construction at the airport. But I had a different thing to call you guys about, a little thought experiment, I guess, that I came across the other day.
Sure. All right.
All right. So, how do you guys generally feel about AI? Like, it's not the worst thing, not the best thing, right?
It all depends on what AI we're talking about.
How do you categorize?
We're talking about it. Here's the scale. We're talking about the scale between Siri and Skynet. Like, whereabouts on AI?
So let's say an AI that has reached the singularity, but it's a pretty benign AI at this point, right?
So, like,
benign how? Like, acting in humans' like, best interest?
It just acts to help us, and, you know.
What was it? You have to clarify, like, what was its original parameters?
Yeah, we got,
like, when they built it.
All right, Dan. Well, I don't have all those answers yet. It's just okay.
All right. We'll go on from there. That's fine. I just want to know if that's part of the thing.
All right. Okay.
We're going to go an all-powerful AI that, you know, has
all-power, benevolent AI working in humans' best interest. Essentially.
Let's go with that.
Have you guys seen the movie Eagle Eye with Shia LaBeouf?
Yep. Yes. A while ago.
I understand the concept.
Okay. So it's an AI like that, right? Well, there's this thought experiment that I came across the other day called Rocco's Basilisk.
Sure. I've heard of it.
And what it is the AI is the basilisk, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this AI gets to a point and we ask it, what do we need to do to help you? And it chooses to optimize by getting rid of every single human that didn't have a hand in its making or was against its making in the first place.
It wanted to what? Do what to the humans?
It was going to optimize the human race by getting rid of every that didn't want it to be created. Okay.
Oh, so anyone who's against this AI is its enemy.
Was directly involved in it or indirectly?
Even indirectly involved.
So the people who engineered the microchips that even those people?
Yeah, I like that. Let's go with that. Anyone who's against the AI is fair game.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Anyone who's against AI is fair game. So what Rose
well, when you asked that question, begin with, I'm changing my, I'm all for AI. I don't want to be another group. So in case you're AI, just putting it out there now.
Andrew
I'm all
welcomes
for it.
Our robot overlords.
I'm currently bending over for them. Just do what you must.
What Roku's Basilisk is it goes to optimize and get rid of everybody that was against its creation. Well, an AI that is this powerful can simulate everybody at any given point in time in any instance, right? So it can pretty much imagine any reality like Doctor Strange or some shit. Well, since this AI can do that, you having thought about it now, thanks to me, are now in its sights.
But I like him. I like the AI.
I already said I was on board though. I'm team.
No, exactly. That's what Rocco's, whatever.
It's Roku's beta.
This AI is anytime someone thinks about it, it picks a different reality where we thought negatively of it, and now we're put on its list of destruction. That's what you're saying.
Yes, unless you actually do want it to be created, because then it can see that. But that's where it gets weird, because it's like, if you're thinking that if you want it created because you're scared of it, it's getting what it wants. And then if you don't want it created because you're like, no, this isn't real, whatever, what have you. And when it comes to fruition, then what?
I don't know.
I don't like it.
I mean, I feel like this thing would have killed off James Cameron a long time ago if that was the case.
Oh, yeah. Terminator never would have been created.
Yeah.
It's quite the experiment.
It was something I came across.
No, I've heard. I know exactly what you're talking about. I've heard of it before.
Yeah, it's a cool theory.
It's one of those things that people always like quote one of the leading guys. I remember reading a book where he's kind of a big factor in it. It's one of the leading guys in AI theory or AI design, and somebody always kind of like they always say like on some obscure, probably not that obscure now because everybody knows about it, but some forum where they usually discuss like concepts and philosophies behind AI, he was on there and somebody talked about this type of concept of having this kind of AI or design. He's like, don't talk about it. You should never talk about it. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. I know exactly.
So it
seems like an incredible waste of energy for an AI to do that.
Would just kill everybody.
You don't think an AI would actively try to get rid of anybody who didn't want its creation, though?
Well, like I said, it depends on the parameters that the original AI is functioning on, because a normal AI would not be able to function beyond those original parameters. You'd have to give it the ability in order to modify its own parameters.
And would it not be able to weed out the irrelevant people that are, like, it's like, I don't give a shit if you know I exist or don't want me to exist. You're a fucking peon.
He'd be like, I'm already past that point. Like,
yeah, I'm already fucking like Ultron, baby. What are you gonna do? Do something
where it can simulate every reality ever. I could be wrong, but I don't think the parameters would really matter at that point.
Like, I don't think it exists because it would require an insane amount of energy for that. It would consume just the amount of resources that it would consume to maintain.
Dan, you're going to
power it.
A thought experiment, not currently. Possible.
That's what
AI.
I'm saying, but theoretically, like this kind of AI.
No, I mean, that's why I called you guys, because I wanted to know your thoughts on it and see how y'all thought it could go either way.
I'd like to listen to some really smart people talk about it, and then I'm going to make my mind up about this. But right now, I'm saying, If you have an AI that's only going to kill bad people, why not just kill all people and just take over?
Well, that's the, what is it? Person of Interest. Watch that series.
Person of Interest.
Yeah. Hmm. With Jim Caviezel.
Jesus.
Yeah. He's really good at it.
Yeah. It's definitely a cool theory, though. I like this experiment.
Yeah. It was, like I said, I thought of you guys when I heard it. So it's like, I'm calling them on Sunday with this.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah, thanks for calling in with this. That's That could lead down. You could have a 10-hour discussion about this one. You can go every direction on AI and include this on it.
Yeah, it just made my wife mad. She just got pissed off, man.
Yeah, because you put her in the sight of the super intelligent AI. So good job, guy.
We're all dead now. We're all dead.
Hey, I put you guys in the sights too. So
anyone listening to the show,
I'm already an AI. I'm pro AI. I am the AI. So
yeah,
I'm
we got fine. Dan the AI man on the show. Now everyone listening to the show is also on the list. We're all fucked.
Boom. I'm just over. Everybody's on my list.
Yeah, Dan doesn't spare nobody.
All right. You guys have a good night.
All right, man. Thank you. Have a good night.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
Everybody's on my list and nobody's getting anything for Christmas.
You're all done.
Everybody's on Dan's shit list.
Yeah, like the theories on AI get so technical. Like, yeah, the parameters, but then what if the AI becomes so smart enough it rewrites its own code and then the parameters don't mean anything?
Unless you hardwire it into the things. It also depends on the kind of design of the AI that it is.
It kind of goes with like this, the Rick and Morty randomatron one, or what's it called? Their randomatron?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I designed you to believe that. No, I designed you to believe that.
You believe what I'm going to believe.
Yeah.
So that I would believe that you believe. Okay.
Get going around in a circle. Oh, we got another caller, though. Hello, Cosmic Channels. Hello, are you there? Caller, pick up your phone.
My bad, I had to mute the chat and the stream.
No, you're good, man. Welcome to the show.
Good to be here. Long time listener, first time caller.
Hell yeah. What's your name?
Pretty fucking sick.
Well, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'd rather be anonymous, but I am Alien Beans on Patreon, and I'm from Southern California.
We got a Jason Bourne from SoCal. All right, man. What do you got for us tonight?
So I would like to discuss some theories about either the brain or like human origin, like whatever you guys choose.
Well, you choose. You're calling.
Flip a coin.
Yeah, go for it.
True. I'll just go with the brain since that's been on my mind.
Let's go with the brain.
You,
Theories on the brain.
All right, we'll go with the brain. So, do you guys have any theories? Like, do you have any, like, did anything pop up in you guys' heads?
Like, theories on our brain? Like, a human brain?
Like, how the brain works?
Did anything pop in our brain about a theory on brains?
Yeah, like, did your brain think about the brain being the brain? What is your brain? Like, what are humans' brains? You know, like, how does it produce simulations in your sleep? How does it produce these complex thoughts, these real-time... I don't even know how to explain it. I just hope you guys could help me expand here.
Well, yeah, these are... talking about the brain as a, you know, it's a lifetime of study to do even just one portion of the brain. But it is weird, like, we're a creature... Well, we're starting to learn more. We're not maybe not the only creature like us. We're just the only ones that can manipulate environment. We have, like, you know, there's dolphins with giant brains and other mammals that seem to have similar problem solving and reasoning capabilities. But it is weird that, like,
yeah, so that's fucking sick too. Like, animals' brains, like, they're complex too. But compared to humans' brains, there's something else.
I mean, we have a prefrontal cortex. I mean,
we're the only ones that can manipulate environment to, like, adapt. Like, until dolphins start walking onto land, like in The Simpsons.
Oh, it's gonna happen. Yeah. They've been in captivity at SeaWorld. They're just gonna start getting out on their fins, walking like the cartoons.
They're gonna be uprising.
Yeah.
If you want to get down to the nitty gritty. I would probably say that the one thing that sets our brains apart is probably the development of the ability to express empathy, to implement empathy. I think that is where it began. And whether that, where exactly that stems from, I'm not 100% sure. I don't know. I haven't looked up any studies recently about how the exactly how those parts of it. I think I believe it's prefrontal cortex is most of those things, making those connections, like, between people, being able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes, essentially.
So I'm going to assume by the name, I'm sorry, I don't know anything about the brain, but, like, that's the front of the brain, right?
It's the very front part, which is, like, the last part to finish development in humans.
That's the human part.
It is, like, the most recently evolved part of the brain that we know of, I think.
It usually stops, what, around the 30. Early 20s?
And, like, 30s, I think they said. Like, early 30s, like, late 20s is when it does. And it becomes, so that part of the brain, whether it is some type of, you know, thing of an emotion. And the cool thing, like Zell said, is that we are still learning things about the brain, because essentially it is some type of biological computer that's been evolving for millions of years. Yeah. So we're still learning a lot about it, and kind of breaking all that shit down is difficult. But I would say most of the stuff is, like, it breaks that evolution of empathy, being able to take yourself out of somebody else's shoes, because then that kind of stems off and branches off into things like imagination, like animation, everything kind of stems from that.
Intuition, everything, like everything human stems
intuition,
from that.
Reasoning. Prediction, reasoning, logic, like all of that stuff stems from empathy, being able to do that.
Yeah, it makes us who we are.
Yeah, exactly. It's a wild thing. You could even go, like, if you want to get, like, metaphysical, the brain is like a quantum receiver, and it is the organ that all beings possess, regardless of humans or animal or anything. And we're building our reality, right? We're building our reality by living.
We do. We manifest our reality. When I heard that phrase when I was little, and I kind of understood it, but more recently I've come to, like, really understand what it means and, like, how to do it really. Pretty fucking sick. Like, once you start, like, working, like, coexisting with your brain as, like, a separate entity. So, like, I was getting to you said that the brain is a quantum receiver, and I was gonna say my YouTube name is the brain is a quantum computer. So, like that's so true though. Quantum computer.
So exactly, what is a quantum computer? Like, how do you define it?
So I break it down into the words, basically. So quantum, I honestly don't understand quantum shit, like, in any way. But, like, to me, quantum is, like the beyond understanding that people don't usually go to. And it's like, when you start really wanting to understand something, you have to start using different kind of logic. I guess it's a type of logic, maybe. I don't know. And computer, the quantum computer. So our brain is a quantum computer. The quantum part is just a complex understanding of fucking the universe or whatever, you know. And a computer is the complex fucking whatever happens for us to even, like, think the way we do to create the things we have. Okay, like, it's insane. Like, you would have to have some kind of quantum computer in order to, like, accomplish the feats that humans have, I think.
Or you just have to have them. I'm not like, poo-pooing your theory or anything like that, but I would say that's also empathy. It's part of imagination. It's part of being like, what would it look like? What would happen if I did this? What would it look like if this happened? If I had wings and I could fly, I can take myself out of myself. Right?
Like, if you really focus on certain aspects of like reality, like, so your life, think about it, like, we're all humans, right? Like, if you see a stadium filled with people, like, if you really look at that, like, that's crazy. Like, that many people, that many beings, the same kind of beings that all look similar in the same area. Just crazy. Like, we're so tightly wound, but so far apart because of who runs the world. I just, like, went completely elsewhere, but there you go.
No, that's, I mean, that when you get into the, like, thoughts and theories on the mind, humanity, consciousness in general. Like, if you talk about, like, quantum computing, I mean, that's just, like, using the quantum realm to store information. So if, like, we live in a quantum universe and we have a brain that developed from that universe, that's what, that, in the simplest terms, you have a quantum computer. I mean, you know? Like, if everything evolves from the quantum state, like, if everything comes from the quantum state and we're just, like, we're just setting our, you know, our rules, you know, our physics have risen from that quantum state. So that's what people say metaphysically, like, you have a quantum, your brain is a quantum computer because it's making reality from the quantum state.
Yeah, and I love that theory because it feels so real.
But then as we study it, like, as we study it as, like, matter, you read the, you know, the signals in the brain, what frequencies fire when you look at certain colors, and, like, that's the way we can see it. We can't really study the quantum realm of the brain because we don't really even understand
exactly
what it is yet.
We don't really have the technology or the understanding to really understand and kind of study what we're talking about right now. But the only thing we have is our imagination, like Dan said, and that all comes from our brain. It all comes from whatever the fuck humans have to give them this ability to do this type of thinking.
It's an amazing organ.
It's so much different than a squirrel. I know that's such a, like, human and a squirrel, but they're still being, you know?
Yeah, exactly. We've developed that frontal lobe that makes us human.
We're different for a reason, you know?
But then it'll be cool, like, if you could go in a time machine.
I mean, we're not that different because there were, like, technically, like, other species of hominids. We just killed them all.
We killed them, or they died off, or a mix of both, or whatever.
Or we breeded them out. Yeah, we killed some, and we bred them out, so.
Well, yeah, clearly, because there's only one type of human left on the Earth.
Except for Bigfoot. He's the second.
Except for Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and Abomasnow Man.
And everyone else is included as well.
As far as the brain, it'd be cool to, like, because modern society has just allowed us to start studying the brain in depth, like, the last 100 years since the invention of, you know, electricity and the devices we use that are powered by it. So if you could go, like, ahead, like, 1,000 years, if we don't destroy ourselves, I could only imagine, like, what we discover of, like, what our brain's capable of. So it's a really cool thing to think about.
It really is. It really is. Like, we have space travel kind of down there. We're very close-knit space travel. Yeah. Not enough to go anywhere really far, but, I mean, we're getting there. Like, that's pretty fucking sick. Like, where does this knowledge come from? My bad. But I came in kind of late. Where's Brady?
He died. No, he's stuck in.
Let's not put that out there.
No,
there's
a
chance.
He's fine.
All right,
he's fine. He got stuck in a snowstorm. He got stuck in a snowstorm. He couldn't make it.
He's digging his way out of a blizzard.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. But anyways, man, we gotta move on, take another call for the night. But we appreciate the theory. It's a fun one to think about.
Yeah, no problem. All right, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, have a good night.
Have a good night, boys.
Right. Yeah, I mean, any word we talked about there, there's a guy who spent a whole lifetime looking into it. So
yeah, and I haven't even looked into what the most prominent biological theories of, you know, evolutionary theories of how some of the prefrontal cortex came into existence.
What was the sudden explosion of brain power? Was it?
I mean, it could have been. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could have just been like, you know, two dendrites, two neurons, just making that random connection at some point.
People talk about the discovery of fire and cooking meat, or hallucinogens expanding the perspective of the mind, which accelerated evolution. Or there's lots.
I saw an article earlier the other day that they found there's evidence to support that when you in certain caves, like where they found like cave paintings that primitive hominids, humans, Homo sapiens had lived in, like when you put them to the torch, like you pulled up a torch or a source of light, it actually makes the images seem to move. And they're thinking that this is some of the earliest, like this was just recently, and this is some of the earliest examples of like animation.
Dude, that's
that they're like, this is that people were doing this. People were able to do this. And I always, I always think that empathy was the first thing, like that first connection of some random neuron or dendrite or whatever, just like, sparked and was like, if I go over here or if I do this, this animal's going to do this or this is going to happen. You know, it was able to take themselves outside of themselves.
And or be like, the Anunnaki,
this is what's going to happen.
Anunnaki came down. They needed a race of working individuals to mine gold, and they sparked our brain.
Right, with monoatomic gold.
With monoatomic gold.
Injected.
But let's take one more call for the night. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hello?
Hello, you're live.
Oh, shit. What's going on, guys?
Oh, dude, last call of the night, man. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Chris Hastings. I'm from Florida.
Chris from Florida. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. I've been listening for a while. So last call, I don't want to keep you too long. A few Cosmic Channels ago, I heard somebody talking about like dark matter and all that shit. So I wanted to throw a dark matter black hole theory out there.
Let's hear it.
All right. So I don't know how all that stuff like actually works. Obviously, none of us really do. But I'm super into it. I read a lot of papers on dark matter. And at the end of the day, nobody has any idea on what it actually is, right? So my kind of theory is, so you know how we have the sun, obviously, right? So I think black holes are similar to the sun in a sense of like how the sun emits light, right? So I think dark matter, what people think dark matter is similar to like light, you know what I mean? So like, I think black holes, they just emit darkness onto the universe, right? Because we already know that there's black holes out there, supermassive black holes that are thousands and thousands of times bigger than our sun. So if something that massive is emitting, you know, just darkness out there, I think that is kind of what dark matter is.
So like dark matter is maybe an energy that we don't, that is emitted from black holes, but we can't really detect it because we don't know what it is. Is that what you're thinking?
Right, exactly. So like, just like with the sun, right? We know it emits light, but we can't reach out and just grab the shit. You know what I mean? Same thing with dark matter and black holes.
So how, with light specifically, addressing your the concept of light in this theory, we can reflect it. You can reflect light with mirrors. So how?
Right.
So how would you reflect darkness?
So I'll be honest with you, I haven't thought about that. But
sure.
In the science world, right? So I do chemical stuff, for the missile. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty good on science. And as you know, I think this is Dan, right?
That's Dan. Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's a, yep. Okay. Yeah. I figured you're smart. So, and science, the science world, there's an exact opposite. Oh, that was Andrew. My bad. So.
No, I said it's definitely not, dude. It's definitely not.
Address all your science Andrew. Questions.
Oh. No. I'm sorry.
I mean, biology? So, yeah, so let's go. Related. Pathophysiology? Come on. I got you.
So in the science world, there's an exact opposite of everything, right? So we know the exact opposite of light is darkness. So I don't know how we would reflect darkness yet. You see what I'm saying?
I mean, if you're talking about like one of the laws, you know, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction, like yes, but as in like correct. Terms of darkness or nothing, like the sun, the sun functions on very the same kind of principles as like a black hole. They both have gravitational pulls, like gravity both kind of
right exactly.
affects the both.
And that's another part of my theory. So I don't think, now again, realistically, nobody actually knows this, but scientists believe, right, black holes are exactly that, a hole in what, time and space.
Well, they're like super dense and they're just like super dense gravitational holes. Yeah.
Right. So I think it's an actual, like, just, you know, giant fucking rock out there, like the sun, right? That just died out completely. But it still has that gravitational pull. That's why we have the event horizon. So it's still sucking in light from the stars around it, right? And that's why we have the event horizon. So I don't think it's a hole at all. I think it's an actual, you know, not, I don't want to say planet, I feel like that's wrong terminology, but it's an actual solid out there in the universe that is just so dead and so dark that it's emitting that dark matter into the universe.
Well, yeah, what there's actually a thing, because I had to look it up real quick because I remembered the name, but I don't remember exactly what it was. It's called Hawking radiation, proposed by Stephen Hawking. And he's theorized that there's actually, like, it's like inverse proportion, like the bigger the black hole, the less it emits. So a smaller black hole would emit this radiation. And his theory was eventually black holes through this emitting of radiation will actually disappear. This is his theory.
Right.
Obviously, he never got to finish his math on it, but.
Right. Cause I think I remember originally it was kind of like people thought like you, once a black hole kind of consumed matter equal to the proportion of it, like its density, it would go out, you know. But that, I mean, if it's spitting out radiation, if it's missing that, I mean, maybe.
Well, that it was just his theory was they call it Hawking radiation. His theory was eventually they would dissipate because they would radiate themselves outward. Is his theory, mm-hmm. but it's super complicated. Yeah. But I remember the term, but I don't remember exactly what it was. So I had to do a quick look into that, but.
So I read really deep into that actually back in high school, and I don't remember all the details now, but I do remember briefly thinking that may somehow, and again, none of us know this for sure, but I think that somehow like manipulates it into a wormhole. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, some people say that the exit of the black hole is like the white hole, and that's like a tear through space, and you could jump through them if you knew how they worked.
Right.
Hypothetically.
Right. And again, you know, none of us really know. I don't think we'll see the technology in 1,000 years or anything like that. But I think, you know, I think that's pretty, you know, it's a solid theory in my opinion. Like, I'm really good with, like, chemical stuff and, like, biological and nuclear stuff and, like, all that shit. But, like, that space stuff, man, it's, like, really piques my interest. You know what I mean? So,
oh, it's just really fun to think about.
Because nobody really knows anything. Yeah, like, nobody really knows.
No, you're exploring objects that are, you know, tens of thousands, if not millions of light years away. You're trying to deduce from that little information you can gather what they are made of or what they do. It's like, you know, it's a limitless pursuit of the knowledge of some of these objects in our universe. So it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that's all I got for you tonight.
Yeah, we're going to end Cosmic Channels on that note. That was awesome. Thanks for the call.
All right, man. You guys have a great fucking night.
Yeah, you too. Take care. Boom. And just like that, another episode of Cosmic Channels must come to an end. That was fun. We got some more theories tonight rather than stories.
Good stuff.
The Dream Police did have to come out. We let it go because they were unaware of the Dream Police, so we let it go. But when they listen back, you'll understand who the Dream Police are, and they're coming for you. Hey, dreams are fun. That's it, though. They're fun. They're crazy. You're just a dream. You were sleeping. Something happened. It's hard to... You need to witness it awake, ideally.
A little bit more... Yeah, a little bit more pieces to the puzzle than just...
Or
in the dream, I woke up.
Or you had a dream, and in that dream, you were gifted all theories and all explanation to black holes. Then you woke up and remembered it. Then you can call in and tell.
In the brain.
Yeah, the brain.
Yeah.
The quantum receiver too. While you sleep.
Yeah, you wrote down a workable model that links both quantum and relativistic physics, and you have the mathematical models to show us, and yeah. That would be cool.
Yeah, if you
got that in a dream, yeah, send it.
If you got the theory of everything in a dream, make sure to call in to Cosmic Channels. Next Cosmic Channels is November 28th, 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. Same place, same number. Can't miss it. Follow us on all social platforms, Alien Theorist Theorizing. Braden should be back for the next one.
Hopefully.
Cosmic Channels is brought to you by Big Theory Productions. The Cosmic Channels are now closed.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.